Channel 16, Audio 7.70. The number to call in during this live broadcast is 1-800-858-6582. If you have unlimited long distance or are calling from a cell phone, please use our toll number, 1-559-733-5161. That's 1-559-733-5161. Thank you.
Nothing but pain and misery. You always wanting something, something for nothing. That's what you do.
Continue with the broadcast into the second hour. interesting conversation I had with Tim there, and we're just speaking it like it is, people. Speaking it like it is. Doing something about it. What can we do about what's going on and being engineered for us? What is the proper thing to do? How can we make a difference? Well, Stephen has sent me the link to the United Nations organization who are scheduled to monitor the illusionary U.S. election. And I can give you that website. It's kind of long, but maybe I should, because in my antiquated computer, it'd take me forever to get there. During a show. When I'm off the air, I can get there, but I have to manually type it in. The website. So why don't we do this? Let me give you a chance to get your writing implement in place, and you can write down the website, and you can go to it yourself, and we'll let you find it. Maybe somebody will call in and verify it, because I'm not going to look at it until after the show. But Stephen has done some great informing to me by email. Not the Steve that I grew up with in California. He's deserted me. He doesn't call me any longer because he knows what I'm going to talk about. And all he talks about is his sexual conquest. Very frivolous conversation. And so we haven't talked in months. But the other Steve has sent me some great stuff. And so this web address for the monitoring of this election, or selection, if you will, by a UN agency, it's http://Europa, E-U-R-O-P-A dot E-U dot I-N-T. Once again, E-U-R-O-P-A dot E-U. .int/com/external_relations.osce. That should get you there, according to Stephen. EUROPA. .eu.int/com/external OSCE. Go there, check it out. Let us know what it says. Just can't do it during the show with what I have with the computer. J. Zane Wally, I think, was part of the Paragon Foundation. And I think he's recovering from a stroke. I hope he's doing well. I have something that J. Zane Wally wrote on July 23rd, 2001. That's July 23rd, 2001. Long before the September 11th, 2001 action, although the roadmap for national security was well into place, the creation of Homeland Security was well into place, the plan for Homeland Security was well into place. On July 23rd, 2001. They just needed another Pearl Harbor to put it into place so the American people wouldn't object. So what did J. Zane Wally state on July 23rd, 2001? And, once again, this article was made possible by a grant from the Paragon Foundation. And back then he asked, is the United Nations threat to America's freedoms genuine? For years, he shrugged such a far-fetched notion off. He would listen patiently to very earnest people who spouted a seemingly endless stream of dire warnings about global and one-world government. He reckoned they had fallen under the influence of the conspiracy conjecturers and spent too much time reading spy thrillers and watching science fiction. So as he researched the plight of farmers, ranchers, miners, loggers, and other people who made their living from the land, it became apparent that their livelihoods and homes were being annihilated by international treaties and agreements. Global pacts, hidden darkly in the background, apparently drove major federal government actions that were hostile to people who worked the land. The first lightning bolt of reality exploded into his dumbed-down brain when a very knowledgeable scholar gave him a copy of a 1972 environmental law paper by the International Union for the Conservation of Nature and Natural Resources, the IUCN, out of Morg, Switzerland. In the IUCN paper, the easement as a conservation technique, chapter 2, titled The Need for Conservation Easements in the United States, explains how government agencies can regulate private property without owning or paying for it. It also suggests that CEs, conservation easements, are a method for non-governmental organizations, NGOs, to achieve regulatory authority. It further explains how state and federal constitutional private property rights laws could be circumvented. In researching the IUCN, J. Zane Wally found that they are the Environmental Agency of the United Nations, bringing together 76 states. And the states are countries in the UN's eyes, keep in mind. 111 government agencies, 732 NGOs, 36 affiliates, and some 10,000 scientists and experts from 181 countries. Their membership list of signatory American agencies and NGO had dumbfounded him, J. Zane Wally. U.S. agencies with the IUCN membership and providing funding include, well, you've heard them before, the Department of Agriculture, Forest Service, Department of the Interior, National Park Service, U.S. Agency for International Development, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, Department of Commerce and Department of State. Keep in mind, NOAA, Robert Ballard, the man that found the Titanic, is working with NOAA. And you can't even place a plaque commemorating the disaster of the Titanic disaster on the ship. You have to lay it on the side of the sunken ship down there. Ridiculous things. NOAA, people. It's just insane. Absolutely insane. Anyway, I continue with this. And a very few of the many IUCN NGO members are the Nature Conservancy, Defenders of Wildlife, the Environmental Defense Fund, the National Audubon Society, National Parks and Conservation Association, National Wildlife Federation, and Natural Resources Defense Council. In fact, almost all the major NGOs who are wreaking ruin on proud and productive Americans are IUCN signatories. Further research proved that the Tax Reform Act of 1976 incorporated principles favorable to the IUCN vision. Virtually, elements of the Act are a rubber stamp of the IUCN agenda. Simply summed up, their agenda is global environmental regulation. To regulate the world environment, they must, of course, regulate the people. So Jane Zane Wally followed that thread into the spool and stumbled on a United Nations website, UN Protected Areas in the United States. The website contained 129 fine print pages of UN Protected Areas in America. 129. Millions upon millions of acres of our country are listed. Those protected areas are regulated by the IUCN. When you compare the UN protected areas to regions that are under fire from federal regulators and environmental takings that force people from the land, he found they are the same. Other documents also have severely unnerved him, James A. Wally. The United Nations Program of Action of the International Conference on Population and Development produced a how-to manual, The Forced Relocation of Rural Populations, which was distributed in Africa and included the stated mission, quote, to foster a more balanced spatial distribution of the population by promoting in an integrated manner equitable and ecologically sustainable development, end quote. One of the concepts advanced in the UN paper will ring true to countless rural Americans who helplessly watched their lives be destroyed by environmental regulations. Quote, when rural resident inhabitants are denied access to the natural resources essential to their livelihoods, they will be forced by economics to relocate, end quote. Quote, once again, when rural resident inhabitants are denied access to the natural resources essential to their livelihoods, they will be forced by economics to relocate, end quote. Oh boy. So he goes on to state, our own government has two publications in print that will raise your hackles. The first, Your Rights and Benefits as a Displaced Person, publication number FHWA-PD-95-010. That's publication number FHWA-PD-95-010. States, quote, government programs designed to benefit the public often result in acquisition of private property and sometimes in the displacement of people from their residences, businesses, or farms, end quote. The other pamphlet, Acquiring Real Property for Federal and Federal Aid Programs and Projects, publication number FHWA-PD-95-005. That's FHWA-PD-95005. Spells out how the government can take your land. The U.S. government publications and the U.N. manual have analogous themes. The Endangered Species Act. That's right. The Endangered Species Act is a concrete example of the authoritarian power of international treaties over Americans and their rights and property. You're encouraged to read the U.S. Code 16, Section 1531, A4, Congressional Findings and Declaration of Purposes and Policies. You'll find that the Endangered Species Act is comfortable to and in accordance with A, migratory bird treaties with Canada and Mexico. B, the Migratory and Endangered Bird Treaty with Japan. C, the Convention on Nature Protection and Wildlife Preservation in the Western Hemisphere. D, the International Convention for the Northwest Atlantic Fisheries. E, the International Convention for the High Seas Fisheries of the North Pacific Ocean. F, the Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species of Wild Fauna and Flora, and G, other international agreements. In a mockery of the advice and consent responsibility placed upon the Senate by our Constitution, the U.S. Senate ratified 34 international treaties without debate, without a vote, and almost without notice during the 106th Congress. So, as James Zane Wally says, am I hearing the flutter of black helicopter rotors and the goose-stepping tread of foreign troops? No. However, the evidence that our freedoms are being methodically destroyed by federal agencies that kowtow to international powers is both concrete and public. The clamor to get America out of the UN is direly inadequate. If our country is to regain sovereignty, just like what they're promoting over in the Middle East, I interject, for window dressing, we must abrogate all international treaties and require that our federal bureaus withdraw from UN pawn agencies. And I hope he's doing well in his recovery, J. Zane Wally. Pretty amazing. Here I see some from Foreign Affairs, and I received this from Ellen. Ellen was the one that first set up the website back in 1997. She's responsible for organizing other links to where it is today. Apparently from Foreign Affairs, Riding for a Fall by Peter G. Peterson. This individual that sent this to Ellen said, excellent, I received my issue of Foreign Affairs just this past Friday, and as I am wont to do, that evening immediately looked it over and began devouring the most critical article of the quarterly, the most crucial, that is, as far as she's concerned. I began because I was about to do a rather protracted review of this important article when, voila, when I downloaded her email, took what she found in the mailbox right from the site of the grand wizards of U.S. policy making and the most important political pressure group for the Illuminati. It benefits to subscribe because one is forewarned long beforehand about many upcoming major national and global events. This article is especially crucial, not only because of the dire warnings and remarks made. Keep in mind the facts and warnings that most of us who follow the non-establishment media about the true state of the economy are already quite familiar with, but because of the man behind the words. She doesn't think you could get a more important or more elitist creature in the U.S. to pin these words. Most notably, they are overall the truth. So here's his summary. Quote, three long-term trends are threatening to bankrupt America. The burgeoning cost of waging the war on terrorism, the U.S. economy's increasing reliance on foreign capital, and rapid aging throughout the developed world. Washington must understand that committing the United States to a broader global role, while ignoring the financial cost of doing so, is deeply irresponsible, end quote. Well, isn't that just a piece of wisdom for us to absorb? Okay, let's just finish this off, and I'll take Steve. Hang on there a minute, my friend. So, who is this man? Peter G. Peterson is chairman of the Council on Foreign Relations, the Institute for International Economics, and the Blackstone Group. How many have heard of the Blackstone Group? He served as Secretary of Commerce in the Nixon administration. This article is adapted from Running on Empty, How the Democratic and Republican Parties Are Bankrupting Our Future and What Americans Can Do About It, published by Farrar, Strauss, and Griot, 2004, by Peter G. Peterson. So it is highly recommended you give the article your time and go to www.foreignaffairs.org. It's a very long website to read to you, but go to foreignaffairs.org and search out Peter G. Peterson. And it's a September-October 2004 edition. The summary, once again, three long-term trends are threatening to bankrupt America. The burgeoning cost of waging the war on terrorism, the U.S. economy's increasing reliance on foreign capital, and rapid aging throughout the developed world. Washington must understand that committing the United States to a broader global role while ignoring the financial cost of doing so is deeply irresponsible. Well, needs time. We need to spend time on this. Darren subscribes to Foreign Affairs. Maybe he'll put it on my website. I hope you do, Darren. Let's take Steve. Steve in Ohio. Hello, my friend.
Good evening, Chris.
Yes.
Good to hear you on.
Thank you.
Thank you for the job you've been doing for a lot of years.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
And I like you for about the last 12 or 15 years of writing letters and making videotapes and distributing and talking to people. And
you've had your bumps and bruises along the way, too, haven't you?
Yeah, I spent my way out of a marriage and stuff. And,
yeah.
And it hasn't all been peaches and cream. One thing that came to mind when you were talking about the treaties, especially the endangered species and the migratory birds, I'm located right up in the northwest corner of Ohio, and there's a watershed here called the St. Joseph River watershed. And IU Purdue Extension University in Fort Wayne, Indiana, just published an article in the local paper. They had done a three-year research project trying to locate the reason for high levels of E. coli bacteria in the St. Joe River. And the St. Joe River's watershed is northeast Indiana, south-central Michigan, and northwest Ohio, and it flows to Fort Wayne, Indiana, and they take their drinking water from the river. And they were searching high and low for human contamination from sewage plants and things like that. And we've got some mega farms in the area, and they were taking repeated samples there for E. coli from cattle and things like that. But guess what they found was the leading cause for E. coli in the drinking water or the water there in the St. Joe River watershed.
Human waste?
Goose droppings.
Really?
Yeah, from Canadian geese. We've got so many of them around here that most of the ponds, lakes, and everything else are so contaminated you can't eat the fish out of them, you can't swim in them because the geese are here.
Wow.
They won't leave, but they're protected. You don't dare do anything to them.
Oh, my, so they're destroying that area.
Yeah, so the migratory birds have hung around, and they're contaminating the fresh water here in the St. Joe River watershed here in the tri-state area.
Huh.
I thought that was interesting.
Oh, boy. Right in your neighborhood.
Yeah. So I don't know what they're going to do. I guess probably the folks in Fort Wayne are just going to have to buy bottled water from somewhere else.
Well, and the problem with bottled water is it doesn't taste very good.
No, and a lot of times they found it's more contaminated than the local water. So
that's one of the blessings I have where I live. It off the well. It's
It's
so nice not to have to worry about buying water, and if you don't buy water in a glass container, it's not going to taste good anyway.
You know, the bad thing about well water anymore, they found the MTBE gasoline additive in, 40-some states that is contaminating the groundwater.
Yeah, isn't that terrible?
I think. Well, there was a case there. California had mandated to add that to the gasoline to make it burn cleaner. Then they found out it was contaminating their groundwater, so they passed laws to remove it from the gasoline. And that product's made in Canada, so they sued through the World Trade Organization.
Yeah.
And forced California to start putting it back in their water because they were interfering with international trade. So it's just a real quagmire.
That was some years ago, too.
Yeah, just here in the last 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How disastrous.
So I think it's something like 47 states here in the continental.
You don't think they have a population reduction agenda, do you?
Oh, of course not. You know, the beauty of it is all these bureaucrats and these agency mongols that go out and, hammer on the American public with this stuff. And you talk about the farmers and the rural people being forced off, like the Darby Refuge here in Ohio, and then you had Klamath Falls up there in Washington State that's just running folks off their land.
Oregon, I think it was.
Oregon.
Yeah.
And they had them on the ropes, but they didn't proceed with it any further. I mean, if it were me, I was being forced off my land, I think I'd been ready to lock and load, you know.
Well, I think about all those that have tried and had that same feeling and lost.
Yeah.
That we don't hear about in the press.
Right.
And I'll bet you there's a whole lot of them out there that are destroyed and ruined, living out of their cars today because of the reasoning behind it.
Working against us, you know, like you've been on the radio now for several years. You've been on several networks, and
yeah.
I heard your plea for some financial aid the other night. You spent yourself down to nothing.
$10,000 it cost me to get out of that WWCR lawsuit.
Yeah. And then, you know,
gee, where does that money come from?
It comes out of your pocket, and you've laid it on the line, and you have for several years. And I've spent myself to the brink of bankruptcy and stuff, and we're not alone. There's hundreds, if not thousands, of us out there that have been fighting this battle for years now.
Yeah.
They'll roll up their nose and their eyes. Oops, got a break coming.
Yeah, well, you're welcome to stay.
Okay, thank you.
All right, we'll continue with Steve on the other side, listeners. Stay with us.
That's my name.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70, and worldwide on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Why is a daddy long legs not a real spider? Find out on today's Creation Moment. And now, here's our Creation Moment's host, Ian Taylor.
What has eight legs, fangs, ridges on its underside, and is one of the creeping things that God created? No, it's not a spider, it's a daddy long legs. More than just the ridges on the underside have set the daddy long legs apart from the spiders. Spiders have two body sections, while the daddy long legs has only one. Under a microscope, you would find that while the spider's fangs have two sections, the fangs of the daddy long legs have three sections. God has also given the daddy long legs some very special abilities to protect itself. When it is attacked, it is most likely to be grabbed by one of its long legs, but its legs detach quite easily. A young daddy long legs will be able to regrow the missing leg while still getting around quite easily on the other seven. It has very good eyesight, while those eyes are placed on the top of its body so that it can better see attackers. Most attackers are likely to come from above. And the daddy long legs can also spray a nasty-smelling gas to protect itself. God made three varieties of daddy long legs and gave this insect the important job of cleaning the forest floor of dead insects and decaying vegetation. Death and decay are the result of sin, so God must have anticipated Adam's sin and created the daddy long legs, one of the creeping things, just before he created Adam.
For a free copy of our Creation Resource Catalog, visit our website at creationmoments.com or call us toll-free at 1-800-42-BIBLE. And be sure to join us next time for another Creation Moment, proclaiming evidence of God's truth.
If you can hear my voice, you are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. If you would like to continue hearing these programs, there are several ways that you can help. One, you can make a donation or subscribe to your favorite program by going to FirstAmendmentRadio.com on the Internet and follow the instructions there. Two, you can sponsor your favorite program with your business advertising dollars or spend your dollars with those businesses that advertise on your favorite programs. Three, simply call in on live programs and tell them that you are listening on FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Now anyone can do that one. You can find the call-in numbers on our schedule pages at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. And finally, you can call 559-733-5002 and leave your name and address, and we will send you a support pack. Thank you for listening.
That's PokerFace.com, and Lonnie directed me to them, and certainly they do great work. PokerFace.com is their website, and very appropriate music for the broadcast, wouldn't you say, Steve?
Yes. And I just wanted to say I want to appreciate you taking my call, Chris, and I hated to hop in and break up your train of thought there, so I won't stay any longer unless you get back to what you were doing. But I just wanted to give you a call, let you know I appreciate what you're doing, and I try to listen every night that you're on live. And
well,
you're doing a great job, and hang in there.
Thank you very, very much, my friend.
And something's got to break loose here one of these days, and hopefully it'll go our way. If it doesn't, at least we can lay down and meet our maker and look him in the eye and say, we did what we thought we needed to do. And
we did our best.
And that's right. We've done our best, and that's all we can do.
Yeah.
God bless you, my friend.
Thank you very much, Steve. God bless you.
Okay, good night.
Bye-bye. And I appreciate that. Just a handful of us, though. You know, that's the sad commentary about it all. Most of America is captivated with the Olympics right now. But according to information that was sent to me by Norm Davis, KTLA.com, LA's web station, they have a study of illegal migrants costing $10 billion a year. KTLA Channel 5 was something I used to watch in California, Southern California, and it's costing $10 billion a year to support these illegal aliens, and they're actually migrants under human rights treaties. Here we go again. The UN system right in your face. But most people don't have a clue about it. Most of these immigration organizations or anti-immigration organizations don't have a clue about it, don't connect the dots to it. Glenn Spencer is a perfect example of that. Glenn Spencer used to work in the Pentagon. Glenn Spencer did a paper on Vietnam migration or something of that sort. I never saw it. But Glenn Spencer acts like an insider. But people send him money all the time to keep him going, to support his drinking habit, as he was married and had a girlfriend at the time. Glenn Spencer, a real piece of work, a real idiot for the New World Order system. I'm being somewhat cynical, you bet. I'm a little upset about things. Have been for a long time. But when you connect the dots to what's going on, and the dots are very easy to connect, and others don't, it's frustrating. The only reason why I did this was to set an example. The only reason why I came on to do talk radio was to set an example for others. But no one's come on board. Anyway, Stephen, another Steve sent me this. I hope this finds you well and in good spirit. Well, we know about that. I liken to your show on Tuesday evening is my show Tuesday night. Yes, despite all the terrible news you share, I could not tear myself away from this monitor and the speakers your words of wisdom came out of. You may not be popular. That's what he's referring to me. You may not get the exposure others get, but when this is all said and done, people like you will be looked upon as the truth seeker. I have shared truth with many throughout the years. Most cannot listen, and those who do wither back to the world of illusion. Thankfully, a remnant of folk do listen. This remnant will find the answers we so dearly seek if they will look in the right places. I wish you knew the news you share was all happy and joy. I, like you, could use some downtime. This path you have embarked on is not fun. It is so very rewarding, though. We do what we can for as long as we can. It may be depressing, but it is the truth. Better to die a free man in Yahweh, I am then, lives as a slave to this beast system. You mentioned DU on your show, depleted uranium. This genocide of nations is just another sustainable program in evil ones of this world promote. The movie Apocalypse Now portrayed an officer of the U.S. forces gone mad. In truth, the colonel was the only one who was not mad. He recognized the evil of the enemy and dealt with it in a way they would fear. This is well stated, people. Apocalypse Now. That was well stated. The colonel that we went after, the colonel that Martin Sheen went after, who was played by Marlon Brando, was the one that was right. And he says the same thing here. Once again, the movie Apocalypse Now portrayed an officer of the U.S. forces gone mad. In truth, the colonel was the only one who was not mad. He recognized the evil of the enemy and dealt with it in a way they would fear. We are facing the same situation as today. At some point, men must stop making excuses for the evil we put up with and deal with. Well stated. I mean, depleting uranium, people, in weapons, in ammunition. Our soldiers are inhaling it. The innocent people are inhaling it. And who is innocent and guilty in Iraq today? What is this power struggle about over there? So, according to a certain source here, we can find more information about this. I'll deal with this tomorrow night. Because I have some other areas to cover. Well, no, maybe I should cover this now and save the other for tomorrow because it's rather lengthy. So, an individual, the subject this individual sends is sex with soldiers from Gulf War means tumors, cervical and uterine cancer. Just a quick note. Sorry, guys and girls from the military. Save your life and the lives of your children, women, and men. Say no to those who serve in war or war manufacturing. The weapons of mass destruction we are making in bombing Iraq, Afghanistan, and before in Yugoslavia and Croatia contain depleted uranium. These weapons, which are in tanks, guns, planes, and even in the air of the Mideast and Southern Europe, even Israel, they say, or he says, are coated with depleted uranium, which kills for billions of years, according to this information. It is causing skin lesions, testicular, ovarian, and rectal cancer in the troops. And it is spread to people here in the States in the bodily fluids of the soldiers and those in support positions. Women can get it from the men's semen. Men get it from the women's fluids. Besides the birth defects and neurological disorders from the depleted uranium, the rise of tumors and cancer is growing because the radiation is carried in the semen of the men of war for their whole life. You can go to life.com, www.life.com, and you can probably find more on this. It's a rather lengthy website. I can give it to you. It's life.com/life/essay/gulfwar/gulf01.html. Once again, the website, which I haven't checked out, but you can, www.life.com/life/essay/gulfwar/gulf01.html. the other portion of this says, say no to those who say yes to war. Just 467 U.S. personnel were wounded in the three-week Persian Gulf War in 1990 to 1991. Out of 580,400 soldiers who served in Gulf War I, 11,000 are dead. And by 2000, there were 325,000 on permanent medical disability. This astounding number of disabled vets means that a decade later, 56% of those soldiers who serve now have medical problems. The number of disabled vets reported up to 2000 has been increasing by 43% every year. Brad Floor of the Department of Veterans Affairs told American Free Press that he believes there are more disabled vets now than even after World War II. And what did they do? They brought it home. Certainly this was talked about by me and others. It is on their clothes, their lips, their hands, kisses, tears, everywhere. Not only were soldiers exposed to DU on and off the battlefield, but they brought it home. DU in the semen of soldiers internally contaminated their wives, partners, and girlfriends. Tragically, some women in their 20s and 30s who were sexual partners of exposed soldiers developed endometriosis and were forced to have hysterectomies because of health problems. In a group of 251 soldiers from a study group in Mississippi who had all had normal babies before the Gulf War, 67% of their post-war babies were born with severe birth defects. They were born with missing legs, arms, organs, or eyes, or had immune system and blood diseases. In some veterans' families now, the only normal or healthy members of the family are their children born before the war. Sad, sad commentary for our country. So sad, people. What I'm going to cover tomorrow... Well, maybe I can cover it tonight. Maybe we have time. By Crystal Kier, another bad trade pact from NAFTA to CAFTA, dated September 12, 2002. Oh, yeah. In place. Under cover of the corporate and independent media's obsession with George W. Bush's maniacal war on terror, the U.S. is pursuing new trade negotiations to expand the North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA, the debacle to Central and South America. The Free Trade Area of the Americas, FTAA, aims at creating a free trade zone throughout the Western Hemisphere with a target date of January 2005, the effects of which could have an even more dismal impact on millions of people throughout North and South America than has the latest imperialist government's war. But a major stumbling block to the creation of the FTAA is the many social struggles, left political parties, and strong unions in the Central American countries of Costa Rica, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, and Nicaragua. And if FTAA comes to fruition, shipments of export and import goods will have to travel through this region. Therefore, the Central American Free Trade Agreement, CAFTA, is a vital step to expanding NAFTA. Without the endorsement of Central American business leaders and government officials, backed by their respective militaries, FTAA will be next to impossible. President Bush announced last January that CAFTA is a top priority for his administration, and congressional approval of fast-track authority earlier this year could mean that it may be ready as early as next summer. keep in mind this is 2002. The White House's brief fact sheet on CAFTA makes numerous claims regarding the perceived benefits of expanding NAFTA via CAFTA, C-A-F-T-A, people. Several points are worth disputing. Based on the miserable results of NAFTA since its passage in 1994, as well as government actions in Central America today, these include the following statements. And keep in mind, we have the NAFTA corridors in America that nobody covers at all. Claim number one, American farmers, businesses, workers, and consumers will benefit from free trade. The rebuttal? Last year, Public Citizen released a 70-page review of NAFTA's agricultural outcomes, which empirically refutes this claim. Since NAFTA, American, Canadian, and Mexican independent farmers have seen prices plummet and safety nets removed. Thousands of small farms have gone under since NAFTA. As a result, farmland has shifted into the hands of agricultural megacorporations such as Tyson and Cargill. Small farmers are clearly losers under NAFTA. Correspondingly, large businesses have been the greater beneficiaries of free trade. Since NAFTA began, ConAgra's and Archer Daniels Midland's profits have both tripled to $413 million and $301 million, respectively. As for American workers, or any workers for that matter, benefiting from free trade, we haven't found any. Promises of more manufacturing jobs were never fulfilled. Instead, many jobs were transferred to maquiladeros in northern Mexico, where U.S. corporations could pay workers less while evading U.S. worker safety standards and environmental protection laws. It is estimated that nearly 15 million peasants or peasant farmers throughout Mexico have lost significant income. American consumers have not felt the lower prices either. In reality, domestic food prices rose 20% during NAFTA's first 7 years. Claim number two, CAFTA would support democracy and economic reform. The rebuttal to this? There is no doubt that the U.S. trade policies support economic reform outside of the U.S. But the fundamental question is, do the people of these countries want the kind of economic reform being offered by free trade proponents? It is a neoliberal economic model that is pushed forth by U.S. trade and foreign policy, which is, by all accounts, antithetical to what social movements throughout Central America are calling for. Dozens of movements and direct actions throughout the region have been met with resistance from the government and military leaders, often backed by the United States. If citizens do not want CAFTA, then how can implementing CAFTA be a vessel for democracy? Claim number three. The United States has supported the development of democracy, enhanced economic growth, and security for human rights. The rebuttal to this? U.S. support for democratic governments in Central America cannot be found in any historical record. In fact, the U.S. has a tendency, or a policy maybe, to support military regimes and dictatorships in that region more than anything else. The U.S., through the Western Hemisphere Institute, the Security Cooperation, formerly known as the U.S. Army School of Americas, has trained tens of thousands of Central and South American military officers in the ancient art of violating basic human rights. It has also worked covertly and overtly to install and maintain governments that are undemocratic, so say the least. El Salvador's U.S.-backed coup in 1979, Nicaragua's Contra War during both the Carter and Reagan administrations, and Guatemala's 1954 CIA-engineered coup, etc. It's recommended you read Noam Chomsky's book, Turning the Tide, U.S. Intervention in Central America and the Struggle for Peace. Claim number four, CAFTA would commit those countries to even greater openness and transparency, which would deepen the roots of democracy, civil society, and the rule of law in the region. The rebuttal to this: the openness and transparency that the White House is referring to here is nothing to do with democracy, civil society, and the rule of law. Rather, it applies to the movement of goods and services, financial and material, across borders without penalties. It involves a further weakening of those countries' abilities to protect their comparatively weak economies from large industrial countries, privatization of public services such as water and sanitation, electricity, and health care has taken place throughout the region behind closed doors and against the will of the populace. Proponents of CAFTA in Central American countries are actually actively working against the interests of civil society and democracy through union firings and arrests, rollbacks of labor and environmental standards, and police violence at anti-FTAA rallies. The people of El Salvador have been struggling against FTAA and neoliberal economic policies for decades. Here in the U.S., the Committee in Solidarity with the People of El Salvador, CESPES, C-E-S-P-E-S, is lending their support to the campaign against CAFTA and the FTAA. El Salvadorian labor and civil leaders have identified CAFTA as the greatest threat to their current struggle for democracy in El Salvador. In reality, CAFTA is destroying the roots of democracy and civil society while instituting military regimes who determine, interpret, and carry out the law. Well, we know what democracy is. That's just a facade. But I'm going with this information for your information. Claim number five: free trade, along with increases in trade and investment flows, would support common efforts to achieve stronger environmental protection and improved working conditions. The rebuttal to this: free trade has achieved a route of circumventing environmental protections and worker rights. U.S. corporations often move manufacturing to countries like Mexico, where labor unions, workers' rights, and minimum wages are weaker than in the U.S. In agriculture, deadly pesticides that have been banned in the U.S. for environmental and worker safety, like the carcinogen DDT, are used freely and then imported back to U.S. consumers. In all likelihood, CAFTA would further weaken environmental protections and workers' rights, just as NAFTA has done here and abroad. Like it or not, there is more going on in the world besides the latest war on terror. Well, we're out of time, but you get the meaning and the message. The UN system is in place. CAFTA and NAFTA are vehicles of the UN system. The State Department implements the U.S. mission to the United Nations. It's just the reality in place. Support me in this broadcast, people. I need it. Very dearly do I need it. And I'll try to continue for you. You have the way to get it on the website, the support I need. It's on AmericanExpose.com. Support me, people, or I will not be able to help you in the information world. Good night.
You are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. We do not have freedom of speech because the Constitution...